Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. By Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 318 for September 20th, 2017. The Young Hams of Costa Rica.
Greetings, everybody. It's K9EID, and you are watching Ham Nation, a show all about the wonderful world of ham radio. What we do, why we do it, and what else we're going to do and all that good stuff. And we've got some great people here tonight. We have an assortment of young people that have a great story about their many travels in ham radio. Don's going to be talking to them in just a little bit. George and Tommy is going to teach us something. And so don't miss that, because they're really good at what they do and they teach. And then, of course, Mr. Gordo. So let's go around and say hi to everybody. Gordon, how you doing?
I am fine, and Cologne, Minnesota, getting ready for this Saturday Smart Fest. Reno, you're getting ready for your swap meet at Cabela's Yum Yum on Saturday. Washington State, I'll be there via Skype, but you need to set me the time in Spokane for your ham fest this Saturday. Iowa's having a ham fest at Sergeant Bluff. So plenty of ham fest coming up, and I know George and Don are getting ready for MFJ's open house week after next. So lots of things going on. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Yeah, we're going to have fun this weekend too at Smart Fest and down in West Virginia. So we're looking forward to that. Don, how are you doing? You're going to have some good guests after a while, I understand, right?
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We've got the young folks from the Dave Calter Memorial Youth DX trip to Costa Rica. We've got all three of the youth operators hanging out with us tonight, and so we're going to have fun with that. And speaking of youth, our young ham of the year, Marty Soloway, KC1CWF, there are a couple of new hams in his family. His sister, their call signs were just issued today, as a matter of fact. So congratulations to Marty's sister, Kilo Charlie 1 India Delta Hotel, and his mother, Gail. Her call is Kilo Charlie 1 India Delta Kilo. And of course, you know, if you're Marty's mom, the perfect phonetic for that call is Kilo Charlie 1. I don't know.
I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Gosh. Well, you know what's going to happen now, don't you, Don? Marty's going to come home to a real hot transmitter and a very cold stove, don't you think?
Exactly. That's right. A hot radio and a cold dinner.
Yeah. Sorry, Marty. Hope you can eat some peanut brittle and whatever, because you're not going to get a hot meal anymore once she finds the DX. That's right. Great. George, you and Tommy are going to do something here after a while. How you doing? Everything okay? Transmitters all on the air, stuff like that?
They were on the air right before we went on the air here tonight. I think maybe they'll make it through the night. The thunderstorm stopped earlier this afternoon, and no issues yet, so we've got our fingers crossed here. Yeah, we'll have Tommy in here just a moment, and we're going to be talking a little more, about rectifiers, and we're even going to have some gratuitous oscilloscope action to go along as well.
Ooh, I like I like oscilloscope action. Okay. That's great. That's great. Well, we're going to just a minute before I go back to Gordo. Gordy, this is true. I was listening the other day, 75 meters, and this is what I heard. I'm not making this up. You can't make this stuff up. Is that okay? This was on the air. Gets better.
Oh, man. That's worse than my pickle.
I think that is your pickle.
Yeah. So there, they need your help, Gordo. So what can I tell you? Gordon West, WE6NOA, take it away. Teach us some
All right,
things.
Well,
it's good.
They need my pickle that we demonstrated at the HamCon Ham Radio get-together this past weekend. This past weekend, we had Dr. T. So, Victor, if you'll go ahead and roll the video. Dr. T came to the Southern California Ham Fest, and she absolutely brought down the banquet house. I mean, everything you wanted to know about space weather, she just wasn't a talking head. She was animated. I mean, she had everybody rolling in the aisles. First of all, she picked on me, saying that my great book that she's been studying for her tech license, that I need to redo my D, E, and F1 and F2 layers. Oh, yeah, they're in the right order. But she said they're never smooth like that. It's like the ocean. You never know where the bounce is going to take you. Well, as you know, to be qualified as saying we saw the sun, we were out there, Susan and I, at total eclipse time. And she talked all about all of the excitement that was going on with the sun during the eclipse time for those ham radio operators, and why some of the solar flares and some of the storms, and there's a big difference between them, we learned, impact so heavily on the different ham bands. Even a peak on the backside and the front side and the side side of the sun, Ms. T absolutely had them awestruck at the ham radio convention this past weekend. Also this past weekend, beside Tamitha showing all us what's happening with the sun, how they affect the ham radio HF bands, we had the microwavers, because it was part two of the ARRL microwave contest. And the microwaves, see, they're smiling. They're going, hey, sunspots, no problem. Well, let me tell you, 400, 500, and 600 miles later, not me. Oh, no, not with that small dish. If I squeak out 100, I'm happy. 400 is my record. Some of these folks were talking from San Diego all the way near the Bay Area. So 10 gigahertz was a big hit. We use microwave, and we don't use coax, but rather waveguide. The next time you see one of these dishes, don't stand in front of it. And we also had a lot of reports coming in, and our hearts go out to those that have been just devastated with all the hurricanes, as well as the Mexican earthquake. Listen to this call that came through recently about the Mexican earthquake.
WB5 10Z, Port Biloxi 1, Mexico City. We are running priority traffic.
Wow. Ham radio was there, and of course, ham radio was out there for emergency situations. So we're monitoring that, as many ham radio operators are. And after the emergency is over, wow, the devastation, especially those islands, wow. One feature we understand was a big help. In the Miami and the Tampa area was APRS, able to track resources at an EOC, small little radio like this, tuned into APRS, and bingo. Now, I know you're looking at 370 on the display when truly it's 390, but you know, if you're just tracking local assets, you don't have to go into the internet. And at the convention, we also had Gary, and Gary was showing amateur television with Roland and Michael and all the gang. It was truly a fun convention. Well, we were contacted just before the big event for some modification of some radios going down to take part in the shares. They needed to be modified because some of the shares channels are outside what would be the normal tuning limits. And we had to pull them together quickly. I didn't choose a radio, but it's one that's going to be compatible with shares. And in an emergency, even if they have to contact the Coast Guard. So what these radios go through is they're matched up to an automatic antenna tuner. Two kinds of tuners. This is 50 ohms output. This is the MFJ tuner, about $159. Let me tell you, that works very well into a relatively non-resonant dipole. But we had this dipole set for about 7 megs. And no, actually, it looks like about 3.8 with all that wire. That worked out well. So if you're going to be doing an automatic antenna tuner that is on top of the radio, not remote, then 50 ohms out is one way to go. Keep the RF inside the coax. Now, the other, we talked about this before, was the ICOM AH4. And this is a long wire tuner. The tuner does require a good ground plane. And the AH4 from ICOM America really does well. But it only does well not at the shack where the RF is right in your face, but rather remotely mounted at the feed point of the antenna. And that output, single wire output, will generate a great signal. So the automatic tuners for the MFJ go into a dipole antenna. We want to test them out before we release them into the disaster area. But the radio had to be modified. And you know, you can go to mods.dk and get some great modification. Take off either the top or the bottom of the transceiver. And you get it laid out with a good light. You're going to be modifying it in an emergency for out-of-band operation by an alternate group, actually from another country. You're going to need big cheaters. And these are very handy if you do mods. And we needed to solder bridge the B Bravo there. So with a sharp little screwdriver, first thing I like to do is to buff up and get rid of the shellac that sometimes covers these circuit boards because your solder is never going to stick to that pad with a little bit of shellac on it. So we cleaned it up, and a little closer look, you'll see we just put little tiny scratches in it. So the solder is going to do a nice, good stick job. And we get a little bit of solder flux on the end of a screwdriver. Radio is turned off, of course. And we put the flux right onto the spot we're going to do the solder bridge on. We've got protecting, so if I drop a piece of solder, it's not going to roll on something I don't want it to. And we put our soldering iron on about medium and give it about 5 minutes to warm up. Have a wet sponge to clean off the tip. Put a drip of solder on there. It's going to hang on there. Come on over there. There's the right side of the pad. And with an additional little bit of solder, there's the left side of the pad, and that solder bridge is now good. So that's what we did, but no instructions to say, oh, yeah, after you do this, be sure and initialize and reboot the radio. So that we did, and now these radios work fine on both the ham radio high frequency as well as in an emergency on some of the shares channels. So that's what it takes to modify a radio, and if you're operating just on the ham bands, you're good to go without needing to do that. But occasionally, you get a request from a foreign operator, and they're going to take responsibility of the radio, and from what we understand, they're on the air now passing traffic out of the Caribbean. So this is good news. So that's my story. We hope to see everybody at an upcoming Ham Fest soon. And for those going down to the MFJ get-together weekend after next, you're going to have a great time. And I know Don and George will be there. So, Bob, let's go back to you and let's find out what's happening at the Bob Heil Shack and Sarah. And, Bob, it's a pleasure being on board tonight.
Well, we appreciate all of that. It's really fun to see some of the stuff that you guys do out there trundling around and making things happen. What can I tell you? Let me get my camera set up here. I had a really nice piece of conversation with a guy in Poland, and he sent along a great picture. back on here. I'm having trouble with my cameras tonight. And this picture is really cute. It's of his son. Come on here. I'm not sure how old he is, but if I can get this up here, I'm going to show you what he sent to us here. There we go. This is his son, and I thought it was apropos for a young child of ham radio. And that's SQ6DX's son, and that's from Poland, and a cute little guy. We always like to see some of that stuff. Well, you know, I've been telling you how well the Pine Board's been working, and I got lots of proof. This is from last week, and boy, it was so staticky. Now, all these guys are running around a lot.
And a very good morning to Jim. He's here on NKL, and I'm so glad Darlene is doing better. I hope your pop is good. I'm using a little transmitter that I bought from Virgil's estate and through Bill W0OWT, and I've been
200 miles away, 1 watt, 75 meters.
But I wanted to honor Virgil for his efforts with the missile net, and he was a great man. Over to you, Dr. Bob, K9EAD. I hope you're copying. A little over a watt, I think it looks like here this morning. Maybe 1.5 watts. W0BVT to K9EID and the peanut whistle net.
Of course, I'm going to be a lot.
I'll give you the signal reports, a lot of USB, but no problem. I'm copying
everybody.
I was here
in the shack.
And I hope that we're making it out there to a radio land from the Ozarks. This is K9EID and his 5-watt Pine Board. Over.
We've had
audio. Dick, when Virgil's 6417.
Really good find.
Flash 5763 with a 1-watt plus. Unbelievable. S9. Good strong signal with good audio. Dr. Bob, the Pine Board 5-water is doing a wonderful job. You were also S9 with good audio. Terry, the Ranger, of course, sounds excellent. They always.
And so there you have it. I'm really excited about what we're doing with the Pine Board project. There are so many people getting involved, and it's really fun. I need to review a couple of things. First of all, before we get into this couple of things we're going to talk about, remember, we're dealing with some high voltage here. So you want to be sure and respect that high voltage. Keep your hands in your pockets. At least one of them, rubber-soled shoes and so on. Here's the deal. We started this project, and I did this because I wanted an all-tube project. And the rectifier, George is going to get into a little more of this in a little bit, but the rectifier was a tube, and that's a half wave. And we got about 150 volts, right? Bar B plus was 150. But by changing that tube out, all you did is unplugged it and soldering in a bridge, that's a full wave bridge, and we get about 350 volts, and that 1 watt became 5 watts. So it really helped to do that. And it's a very simple thing to do. There's two ways of doing it. You can actually mount it in a tube socket. We talked about this last week, and plug it in where the tube went. The AC goes on pins 3 and 5. 6 is grounded. You have to ground that pin 6 because you didn't use it in the first place. And then that is your 350 volts out. I, last week, also after the show, I went ahead and took that socket out. And thanks to Gene, he did this drawing for us. I mounted that on a terminal strip, just as you see here. And now that that bridge is permanently mounted. And so now with the full wave bridge, why, we're getting some nice 5 watts out of that baby. And it's just working so well. And we're using it just about every morning. And that's the fun part of it, is that we're talking to people couple of hundred miles away. One of them was 250 miles up, and he was hearing my 5 watts. He was hearing Richard's 1 watt. So, you see, you don't need a lot of power sometimes, and it's kind of fun to do all that. And, of course, we're on AM, not on single sideband. But we're really excited about all of the people that are building. I appreciate all the pictures, and give me some more reports of what's happening, and we'll continue to make things happen here for you. Then you want to go see the latest that Chip did, K9MIT. He and Gene, W4IQN, these two geniuses, Gene does the drawings. And I mean, as you saw, these are beautiful drawings. There's no way. When I started this project, if you remember, I was like a kid in third grade on this whiteboard, and Gene kindly said he would help me. Boy, did he ever. Look at that drawing. Isn't that beautiful? And we have all of those drawings, and every one of the segments, you don't have to watch the whole show, just the pine board segments. All of that is on this wonderful PDF that was put up by Chip, and it's on our site, heilsound.com. Just go all past the products. It's not about that. Go down to the bottom of the page. There you see it right there on the screen. And when you get all the way down to the bottom on that, why, you'll see where the links to all the sites are. And Victor has been so nice to pick those sites out. He'll pick this one out tonight after they get through, and Tommy and George give us more information. But it's all there, as well as a lot of comments and help. And it's really been a great project. The next thing I'm going to do is we're going to work on a final, probably a 6146, so we can get about 50 watts out of it, something like that. But it's a lot of fun. Please join us. I mean, if you haven't built anything yet, this is it. And even if you have, we've got a number of guys that are thanking me for doing this because, hey, you got me into building after 50 years or whatever. So that's the story from here. And as I said, we're just really, really having a lot of fun. I appreciate everybody's help. Chip and Gene have been just unbelievable. And, of course, we have to really wave the flag to W0BVT because it was Richard that turned me on to all of this stuff some time ago. I visited his house, and he had all this pine board stuff going, and I said, yeah. So we're having way too much fun. So I think we need to go have a little word from ICOM because those guys are really having a lot of fun. Also,
it's September. Time to plan ahead. What is your emergency plan? September is Emergency Preparedness Month. Now is the time to review your communications plan and make sure your ICOM equipment is ready to go for any air, land, and sea situation. Communicate with the touch of your fingertips. Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 all-mode transceiver is the ideal D-Star option to add to your communications plan. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. A compact and smart design, the ID4100A is a D-Star mobile with big rig features. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the preferred D-Star option during an emergency. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, applications for iOS and Android devices, and a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage. Take the rugged IC2730A dual-band transceiver wherever you may be. Its large LCD screen, easy-controlled mounting and Bluetooth capability make it ideal for the ham on the go. VHF-VHF or UHF-UHF simultaneous receive. 50 watts of output on both VHF and UHF and optional VS3 Bluetooth headset. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Sign up, register to win great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for September, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID4100A dual band transceiver. It's an entry level D-Star mobile with big rig features, built in GPS, full dot matrix display, micro SD card for voice and data storage, and there's available Android and iOS applications. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. After this, in each episode of Ham Nation, register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And also, there is another contest that you'll want to enter as well. Just go to amateurlogic.tv/contest. We're giving away an IC7300. This one right here, along with power supply from MFJ, the Heil Sound Pro Set IC, designed especially to work with ICOM radios. We've also going to have 100 foot of coax from MFJ and one of those new cobweb antennas that they've got there. Real nice setup there, complete HF station. And Tommy and I, not to be cheapskates, are going to throw in a pair of our Fogold PL259 connectors here as well. So not that you need them, and we don't recommend you put them on coax. They're strictly a decorative piece. See how nice that looks. AmateurLogic.tv/contest. Go check out all the details there on how you can register. And now, of course, it's time for Don and the wide, wide world of news.
Now, wait a minute. You're telling me that those are faux gold? Those aren't real? That Tommy Martin, our friend Tommy Martin, does not use actual gold PL259?
These are authentic faux gold, Don. Not just faux gold.
Oh, this is not the imitation faux gold. This is real deal, the actual faux gold. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I will sleep better tonight just knowing that. While I catch my breath, let's get into the news of the week. But first, I want to tell you about something real quick. Before we get into the news, I want to say hello to our listeners on WTWW, the big 100,000-watt shortwave on 5085. And they're on 12.105, beaming us into Africa, so hello over there. Their email is email@wtww.us. And if you have any kind of ham radio-related event that you would like to promote on that big shortwave blowtorch, they would love to hear from you. email@wtww.us. So email them there because, you know, how else are they going to know, right? All right, let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. Then we'll talk to the YDXA kids. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2081, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. For the third week in a row, a landfalling hurricane tops our coverage.
My city manager was at one of our city staff meetings, and we've been through quite a few of these, and he looked over to me and says, "You don't like this storm?" And I said, "No, I don't."
Irma was one of the most powerful hurricanes ever to hit the state of Florida. Steve Szabo, WB4OMM, is the North Florida section manager for the ARRL.
Right now, I'm waiting for the state of Florida EOC state cert to send me amateur radio requests for deployment in the field. We will be soliciting ham radio operators nationwide, anyone who would like to come volunteer and help. And what they will need to do is sign up on a website. And when they go and they register, as we have deployments that are requested, we will send information out to folks. Basically, they will run the same. They are deployments to public safety and emergency management command centers. We're looking for amateur radio operators with dual band HTs, spare batteries and chargers, and obviously self-contained for several days. They will provide shower and sleeping facilities in most cases. They will provide food and beverages. But generally, we're asking for an HT and like an outboard antenna, something that will increase the range to provide communications capability to shelters, public safety agencies, hospitals, and the like.
The website to volunteer is volunteerflorida.org. That's all one word, volunteerflorida.org.
It looks like most of the Florida Keys will be in the greatest need for the state. We'll also have some in maybe southwest Florida in the Naples to Port Charlotte area, and maybe some in the center of the state. There are areas, particularly in the Keys, where there is no infrastructure left. The high winds and the flooding have just removed everything.
Zabo says an emergency coordination plan can most effectively address needs.
The biggest request I could make, and I do speak for all three sections, all of us got together years back. We have a common operating plan down here. We all work together. Do not self-deploy. There's evidently been at least one government agency in the center of the state that has sent out a request for hams. We would ask that, even though you're interested in that, to respond to the state requests first, because those are coordinated and those are the most effective as far as being able to provide the resources where they are most needed. We're looking at unmet needs, not unmet wants.
Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
And the 2017 season isn't done yet, so stay tuned. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And, you know, Hurricane Maria is out there right now. It just absolutely raked the Caribbean and decimated Puerto Rico. And that thing went from a Category 1 to a Category 5 in 15 hours. I don't think I've ever seen anything tropical grow that fast since I've been paying really close attention to that since moving to New Orleans in 83. It's just incredible. This has been the most amazing hurricane season. And quite frankly, I know I speak for everybody from Texas all the way to Florida and especially into the Caribbean that we're ready for it to be over. Let's turn to weather of a different sort now, and that would be the solar weather. Dr. T is not with us tonight, but as usual, she supplied us with some information, so let's go ahead and look at that first slide, if we can. Vic, talking about the five-day solar storm and aurora out to look, she says, we finally have come down from the fast solar wind that's kept us at active storm-level conditions through the 18th. Conditions are improving. We should remain at unsettled conditions, likely through week's end before more fast wind hits us. Good news for emergency responders to the Mexico quake and also the onslaught of hurricanes. The band conditions should be fair and holding reasonably steady this week. And now moving to the solar flare and particle radiation outlook. On the next one, we have region 2673 continues to wreak havoc on the sun's backside, but it's all pretty quiet on the Earth's Earth-facing solar disk. There's a new region coming into view on the sun's east limb that's firing B and C class flares, so the bands might enjoy some intermittent noise, but no threat for radio blackouts. Also, the solar flux increases ever so slightly this week, so propagation should stay at marginal levels. And, of course, we encourage you to follow her on Twitter and Periscope. She's been doing a lot of Periscope stuff here lately, and that's at Tamitha Scove. That's her Twitter page right there that you're looking at. And, of course, spaceweatherwoman.com is the website, and that is going through a continuous revamp, and it's looking good, and we do appreciate Dr. Tamitha Scove. And yes, she is still studying for her ham ticket, and she'll get there. Just she, as you can imagine, she is an extremely, extremely busy person. Well, now we've talked to two of these young gentlemen here before. The third one that we are going to meet tonight. These are the three guys. Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, Chris Bro, KD8YVJ, and Austin Harris, WA8CCS, and they were all part of the YDXA, the Youth DX Association trip to Costa Rica. And let's get them on the Twitter right now and see how we're doing. Bryant, Chris, Austin, you guys with us tonight?
Yep.
Yep.
There they are. Hey, Bryant, how are you? Good to see you, man. Bryant used to live right across the river from me in New Orleans, but now you have moved elsewhere. Where are you these days, Bryant?
Currently, I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. That's okay. My TTH right now.
Very good. And, of course, Chris lives in the Cincinnati area, and Austin not too far away. Austin, what part of the world do you live in?
I live in Vandalia, Ohio.
Okay, so just you're right around the Dayton, Ohio, Cincinnati area right there. So very good. Well, first off, let's go ahead and start with you, Austin, with that lovely baritone voice as a radio guy. Man, I'm a little bit jealous. How did you enjoy Costa Rica? We're going to get around to all three of you here in the brief amount of time that we have, but tell me just right off the top of all three of your heads. We'll start with you, Austin, then go to Chris, then to Bryant. What was, I would think, the most memorable part or the most unique part of Costa Rica, that trip that you experienced?
I think the most unique part about that whole experience was just getting to see the culture and being the actual DX, being able to run the all the pileups. It was a great experience. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun being on the pointy end of that arrow. That's for sure. Chris, your most amazing thing that you can remember?
I remember Austin contacted Oman on HF, which was pretty fun. Either was it 20 meters or 17?
I think it was 20.
20. When we were setting up the antenna, there was a banana spider, and that was or not a banana, but just a spider, super big, caught up Austin's leg.
Yeah,
it's a little scary.
Yeah, those orb weavers can get pretty big. We've got some nice ones down here in South Mississippi as well. Over to Bryant. Bryant, what is your most memorable experience that you can think of for Costa Rica?
The most memorable experience for me in Costa Rica on the 2017 YDXA trip was when we finally hit 3,000 QSOs, and we did it at 8 o'clock local time or Costa Rica time. On the last day we were going to be operating, and we actually had made the previous 1,000 QSOs in 20 hours. So that was my highlight for the trip. So.
Wow. So describe, we've got some images that we're going to kind of run behind you guys as we're talking about it. If we're going to go ahead and run those. And if any of you guys want to jump in and comment on any of these, just go right ahead.
This was our team image. It's on the,
okay.
It's on the QSL card here. You want to take a look at that? We just got these printed the other day.
Nice.
And, yeah, so that was our team image. It has everybody on the QSL card. So there's me in the center, Austin to my right, and Brent to my left. And then our two team leaders, Jim and Ron, and then our fathers.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Austin, you take this one. What are we looking at here?
We were looking at the moment right before the spider crawled up my leg. But other than that, we were putting up the DX Engineering antenna, which thank you, DX Engineering, for sponsoring that. And, we were just we already had all the radials down, and we were just kind of just constructing it.
All right, very good. The next one, Bryant, take us through this one.
So this was one of the horrifying creatures that we encountered along the trip. I think it was some type of a possibly venomous spider. I didn't find out. I never did want to find out. But as we were trying to plant the radials down, the spider just crept up on us and caught us by surprise. So
When you're out in the sticks, you're never alone. That's for sure. Okay, the next one. Chris, what are we looking at here? Who are these handsome guys?
So, again, that's me, Bryant, and Austin, and we had just put up the vertical. The banana spider has moved on, or the spider, I should say. I don't know why I keep saying bananas. The bananas in Costa Rica were good, so that could be part of it. But the spider had finally left, and we had set up the vertical, so it's about time to use it.
Well, banana spider is a fairly common name for those orb weaver spiders, so you're semi-correct in calling it a banana spider. So, Austin, I take it this is the operating position where you guys spend a lot of time?
Yes, it is. That is my dream radio that I'm working on, the 7300. So, yeah, it's a great radio. I really like it. And I grown to love it at Costa Rica. That was my first time playing with it there, so...
So I take it that's on your Christmas list. Then Bryant, I guess another view of the same of the same position here, huh?
Yes. To the right, we have our SSB and digital station that has the ICOM 7300. I really like the 7300. It's got a very nice receiver and a transmitter built in. And then to our, to our right, we have the SSB digital station. To our left, we have the CW and SSB station. We used an ICOM 718 at that station. So I think Chris is operating that. He really enjoyed that position. So some nice positions.
Yeah, I preferred the 7300, but every now and then I'd get on the 718, put it to use.
All right. Who's doing the cooking in this one here?
We were actually cleaning dishes.
And I've heard rumors that Chris came up with a pretty serious a type of sandwich here. Describe this sandwich that you came up with.
So it was a grilled cheese. In Costa Rica, they have what's known as bimbo bread. It's normal bread, but, you know, if you're in Costa Rica, you got to use bimbo bread. It's part of the recipe. It was like this, I can't believe it's not butter. Austin.
Yeah, it's the most yellow butter I've ever seen in my life. It's pretty yellow.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, and then you spread that on, throw it on the griddle at 250, put a slice of American cheese on, another slice of bimbo bread with some butter, and let it sit for a bit, flip it, and serve it.
Well, you know, the bread makes all the difference. It's like you can't make a decent Cuban sandwich without actual Cuban bread. So I understand that it makes all the difference. Let's go back. We've got a few more pictures. Let's, Austin, tell us what we're looking at here. Oh, here's a nice-looking guy. Who's this guy?
He's Cuban. We went to his restaurant. That was like the one time we had a trip out to eat for dinner. He was very welcoming, really nice, funny guy. He welcomed us into his restaurant and he treated us like family. He was a really nice guy. The food was phenomenal as well.
And I hear that your operating position was up on the top of a mountain, and that restaurant was like at the bottom of the mountain. It was quite an ordeal going to and from, correct? The ride was kind of interesting.
Yes, yeah. It was very interesting to say the least. Yeah.
On the way back when we were going up the driveway, the van actually stalled halfway up. So we had to go in reverse, and the driveway is two stone slabs that you go up. So that was fun.
And it was very slick. It was very slick from the recent rains we had. So it was quite, I wouldn't say scary, but it kept you on your toes.
Wow. All right. Well, and so I guess that's Brian, I guess that's the view from the top of the mountain. You guys are right at cloud level, aren't you?
Yes, sir. So that view is from the back porch of our guest guest house. And in the, that's when the fog came up the mountain. And normally in the mornings, you could get a pretty good view to where you could see the Pacific Ocean. But then in the afternoons, the fog would come back. And you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. This picture right here, the picture back there, you can see the vertical. And then I don't know if you can tell, but there's a Butternut HF6V vertical in the right corner. So both of the verticals looked really well. And we also had a long periodic Yagi that put some pretty good direction towards Europe and North America. So.
Wow. Wow. And another view of the house. I think I think we're getting close to the end. That may be the last picture, as I recall. There we go. I think these are the last three. That's a really nice looking place. Looks like a really comfortable place and a really beautiful place to operate. Man, you guys are so lucky for getting to go on this absolute trip of a lifetime. So what was the final QSO count that we came up with?
I think it was 3,100. I'm going to say it's 3,100.
Yeah. It was 3,100 on the dot. Okay.
Yes, 3,100 QSOs exactly. And the last QSO was made at 1:30 in the morning Costa Rica time. So.
Wow. So, again, an absolute trip of a lifetime. But you guys did not go by yourselves. I know, Chris, your dad Jocelyn came along with you. And Austin, who did you have from your family with you?
My father, Chris, he's standing behind me kind of to the right.
And Brian, who came with you from your family?
My father, Tim, he doesn't have a call sign yet. He's working on it, though. He's to my left. And they were very supportive of it. It was a great trip.
Well, I've not met your dad. I have met your mom. Didn't she get her license, as I recall?
Yes, my mother did get her license. She is KG5TQO. And the suffix...
Go ahead.
I was going to say the suffix for her call sign that I made up is the quacking owl. It's kind of wild, but...
There's maybe some sort of inside joke there that we won't delve into. That's awesome. You guys, I'm so glad that you all three got to go on this trip of a lifetime, and it's something that you'll absolutely treasure for the rest of your lives, and this is stuff that you'll tell your grandparents about. And I'm so happy that you got to come on the show with us tonight. Now, Chris, something I want you to mention. I'm wearing the Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting shirt, and there's some big doings going on at the Voice of America Museum. Where you're sitting, that is where the WC8 VOA club station is. And what is going on this weekend, Chris? Tell us about it. You got a special event going on, right?
Yes, we have a special event. So it is the 75th anniversary of the Voice of America group, the 73rd anniversary of the building we are standing in. So the special event is this Saturday. I believe it runs from noon to 6 p.m., if I'm correct on that. And it should be pretty fun. I'm going to try and operate. We'll see how many stations we have on. I'm not quite sure. And hopefully propagation's good for us.
Good. Well, I'm going to try to get on this Saturday and make some contacts with you guys and try to get you in the log. So that'll be awesome. Guys, I'm so happy that you were able to go on this trip and also to join us here tonight. And I'm sure it won't be the last time that we'll have you here on Ham Nation, and we'll see you all again a little farther down the log, as they say. So, Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, Chris Bro, KD8YVJ, and Austin Harris, WA8CCS, the operators for the YDXA trip to Costa Rica this year. And guys, anybody you'd like to before we get out of here, any last parting words or guy people you'd like to thank? Go right ahead.
Go ahead, Austin.
I would like to thank everybody who made this trip possible. So Ron, Jim, everybody behind the scenes that did all the behind the scenes work.
ICOM, DX Engineering, yeah. all the sponsors here on our QSL card. Let me get that in the frame. There you go. So there's all our sponsors.
Yes,
it's on our QSL card if you are sent one from one of us.
Yeah. Brian, anybody you'd like to, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, yes, thanks to our team leaders, Ron and Jim. They were very professional in teaching us new DX operating techniques. And I'd also like to thank our pilot team back home with Don Dubon, N6JRL, and Todd Dubon, KD4YHY, for all their help. So it couldn't have been possible without them.
And the parents. And the parents.
And the parents.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, thank you all so much. I'm so proud of you, and I'm just happy to know you guys, and so glad that you were able to join us tonight. So there they are, Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, Chris Bro, KD8YVJ, and Austin Harris, WA8CCS, the YDXA team, Costa Rica for 2017. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you guys a little bit later on. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us on. This was fun.
Good. My pleasure. Well, let's talk about Hover now as the guys hover off into DX land now. Register your domain name with Hover. You can build your online brand today. Go to hover.com/twit. You'll save 10% off your first purchase. And now the whole idea of about Hover is it's all in what you're passionate about. If you have an idea for a business, or maybe you're launching a creative project, buying your domain name is the first and biggest step to your online brand. It's vital. It's just like in real estate, location, location, location. If you don't have a snappy website name, you're not going to get on the search engines. You're not going to get noticed. You're just going to die on the vine. So it's vital. It's everything. Are you interested in photography, perhaps? Maybe dance? Pizza? Is pizza your passion? Well, whatever your interest may be, Hover has hundreds of extensions to choose from. .band, .art, .yoga, .racing, .security. They probably have a .ham in there somewhere. You like bananas? They probably have a dot banana. Banana spider dot, you know, I don't know, whatever. Banana dot spider. Maybe that'll be it. Who knows? With Hover, you also get personalized email that matches your domain and further supports your online entity. You know what else is great about Hover? Well, the Hover Connect feature allows you to connect your domain name to any host or website builder, just a few simple clicks. The user interface is very clean. There are no upsells. Best-in-class customer support team and a free Whois privacy. I want you to show the online community just who you are. Be proud of who you are and what you're passionate about. Show the world. Go to hover.com/twit. You'll get 10% off your first purchase. Hover.com/twit. And Hover, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. George, what's going on with smoke and solder rectifiers, right?
Correct, Don. You know, we've been talking about rectifiers for the past couple of weeks in relation to the Pine Board project. I've got a video here that Tommy and I shot on Ham College probably close to 2 years ago, where we actually were talking about rectifiers and pulled out the oscilloscope, did some measuring, and discussed it a little bit. Now, the traces I've got on the scope here are not the cleanest that you'll see in the world. We were doing it live, so you only get one shot at it when you do it that way, but you'll see what's going on here. We're going to do a little project here to play those diodes a little bit, and as promised, the gratuitous oscilloscope seams. Stick your tongue to this and tell me if it's active. Well, this is from a 9-volt wall wart.
Don't be poking that over here.
We can actually check that out real quick. Let's just look at our scope here. So there we're looking at the 60-cycle AC wave there in yellow, 11.9 volts RMS. So that's AC voltage. Where the blue line here in the middle is would be 0 volts. Everything above that line is where the waveform is swinging positive. Everything below it is where it swings negative. So it's constantly sitting there swinging from negative to positive since it's an AC signal. Now we can take a diode and put in series there and change things up a little bit. So what I'll do is disconnect one leg of that AC voltage there. And we'll put a diode in series with it. And we'll hook the other end of the diode back to our scope. Now, what you can see here is that we're only getting the positive halves of the waveform there. It's being chopped off right there around 0 volts. So we're only getting half of the voltage there, roughly, I say half, that's not exactly right. It says 8.74 volts here. But what we've got is pulsating DC. That's because it's DC impulses. You know, there's nothing below 0 volts there. It's all in one direction. Now, this is its 60-cycle rate. So, essentially, we're only being able to use about half that voltage there, or only use it half of the time. Because only when it's swinging positive here do we have any voltage. All this time that it's flat line down here across the bottom, and there's a little tilt to it, but all this time the voltage is essentially cut off from our circuit. We're not getting any benefit from it. So you can see here the anode and the cathode of the diode. You know, when this symbol was originally made, we kind of thought that the positive part of a charge is what flowed. So that's the reason the arrow's going in that direction. So we can just think of the positives are coming through that diode. It's only going in one direction toward the cathode there. That's basically what's happening. The diode is, like you said, a check valve, only lets current flow in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's a diode circuit that we can build that uses four diodes. Here's a bridge rectifier. It's four diodes in a package there. There's four leads on them. And they're wired like this right here. As you can see in the diagram there, we've got essentially two pair of diodes there. The ones that are blue on the left-hand side there, you can see their cathodes are connected to either side of that AC transformer secondary there. The two red diodes, Their anodes are connected to the two secondary leads of the transformer. And you can see the two red diodes. The cathodes are connected to positive. The two blue ones, the anodes are connected to negative. Essentially what that does is when that signal swings back and forth from positive to negative, we're always getting that voltage.
Oh, okay.
In other words, you know, when we were looking at just the regular diode here, you know, we only saw current flowing when it went positive.
Mm-hmm.
So the negative half of the voltage we were essentially wasting.
So it's basically going to inverse that bottom half.
Mm-hmm. We get to use
twice the peaks.
We get to use both halves of the cycle.
Oh, that's cool.
Of an AC signal there. So let's hook it up. This one actually has it drawn on there. There's a picture of a waveform on two corners there, and then a negative and a positive for the other two corners. So we're going to put the AC on the ones with the waveform there. And now we're going to, the one marked negative, I'm going to put the negative oscilloscope terminal 2, and the probe will hook to the one that says positive. And we're going to take our other probe, and we'll just hook it across, across one of the diodes there. Now we're only looking at across one diode here. We can see we've only got voltage when it swings positive. It's chopping off right there at 0 volts. So half the time, we're wasting voltage, or we're not conducting. We're not using that voltage. All right, so if we turn back on channel 1 where we can see it at the same time, looky here. What we're seeing now is that there is a positive spike there twice as often as there was when we were looking with a single diode. So we're taking advantage of both halves of that waveform. So in the blue here, essentially what we've got is a 60 cycle, or half of a 60 cycle waveform. The yellow here, we're getting both halves. It would be 120 hertz here if we measure that with a frequency counter. So we've got pulsating DC still, but the pulses are twice as often. So we've increased the duty cycle to twice as much. When you're building power supply circuits, doing it like this, you're going to get you're going to get more voltage
more
in your supply, more efficiency. It's also, there's another thing that it's going to do. You know, if you look there, this is pulsating DC. There's going to be a ripple there. If we're just looking at say this right here, there's going to be a 60 cycle hum roughly. That's across a single diode. If we put it across a bridge rectifier, though, we've increased that frequency to 120 hertz. That means the value of a filter capacitor that we use will change, too, because we've changed the frequency.
Right.
We don't have any filter capacitors handy here today, so we're not going to look at what
that does.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about the guy that invented those yet.
No.
It's probably coming up pretty soon, though.
Yeah. Andre Marie Capacitance.
One day we're going to have to take all these parts that we've been talking about and put it all together.
Yeah. A half-wave rectifier would be this. We're only getting half of the waveform. A full-wave rectifier would look like this. We're getting both halves of the waveform, or we're actually using both halves of it. When it swings from negative to positive, you know, there's a little dropout in there. But mm-hmm. when you hook a capacitor across that circuit, it's going to smooth it out to where you've got pretty much just a solid line of DC across the top here.
Cool.
I should have pulled a capacitor out so that we could look at that. That would have been interesting. Yeah. Could have made a little smoke, too. You know, nice popping
sounds.
Well,
we still got naked wires here.
We do still have naked wires
early. I mean, these could touch for us over with.
Well, it could. It could.
I need to go get my welding goggles out.
Yeah. Okay, so there's an actual demonstration of the difference between a half-wave and a full-wave rectifier. You can see pretty plainly there that what we discussed last week seems to be correct. Well, you know, before the show tonight, Gordo and I were talking about the MFJ 45th anniversary and ARRL Day in the Park coming up. Not this coming weekend, but the next weekend. I think you're going to be there too, aren't you, Don?
I am. And in fact, I'll be, it's kind of my birthday weekend, which is kind of cool. Oh. My birthday's the 25th. So it'll be, kind of my birthday weekend. Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, great. Well, you know, if there's any way you can make it, you need to come to that September 29th and 30th in Starkville. It starts on that Friday at 8 a.m. to 4:30, and Saturday it's from 7 a.m. to 12. And then there they've got free lunch afterwards at McKee Park, Southern Chicken and all the fixings.
Yeah.
So you don't want to miss that either. Yep.
Nobody does fried chicken like Mississippi.
That's correct.
That's right.
You know, the prizes from MFJ, Ameritron, Cushcraft, High Gain, Mirage, Vectronics. They'll be doing the drawings at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Free tailgating, free forums, and they're giving license exams there too. So go to mfjenterprises.com. You can register there. They need to know how much chicken to cook. So go by and register. And, you know, we look forward to seeing a lot of you there. If you're in the South, definitely you need to try to make it by. They only do it once every 5 years, so you don't want to miss it. Well, you know, last week we were talking about diodes. I asked a question. What was the name of the first semiconductor diode? Well, we had a winner. It's Paul Sperbick, WB9HCO. And he said the answer is a cat whisker diode. That's correct, Paul. MFJ is going to send you one of these MFJ 148 RC radio control clocks, dual clock. Put UTC on one time, your local time on the other side, built-in 10-minute ID timer, perfect for your shack, you know, just the kind of clock that you need. So thanks for that, MFJ, and we're going to give away something else for next week. We were talking about those diodes. You know, diodes typically made out of galena, silicone, selenium, and germanium. That's for solid-state diodes there. So, you know, pretty simple little device, and one that, you should know about because they're very handy for a lot of different things. Well, we're looking here at Gordo's General Class Amateur Radio Study Guide Professor Thomas and Dean Martin will be doing another episode of Ham College this Friday night at 8 Central Time at live.amateurlogic.tv. And we're going to ask, this very question right here. What type of message for a third party as another country? Let me say that all again. What type of message for a third party in another country may be transmitted by an amateur station? Is it any message as long as the amateur operator is not paid? Is it only messages from other licensed amateurs? Only messages relating to amateur radio or remarks of personal character or messages relating to emergencies or disaster relief? Or is it any message as long as the text of the message is recorded in the station log? You think you know the answer to that? Well, you could win one of these DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirts. A very comfortable shirt. It won't be mine. I'm keeping this one. But DX Engineering will be happy to send you one. Just send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll be drawing a lucky winner next week. Sign up and good luck. Well, Don, I think we're getting close to the end of the show there, but you've got something else important to tell us about, don't you?
I do, and it goes right along with your lovely DX Engineering attire tonight, and you're looking extra sharp tonight, George, I must say. The team at DX Engineering is always exploring new ideas and giving you the latest products to make your ham radio experience easier and more efficient. Some of the items that need to be on your wish list if they're not already, well, hurricane season. Simplify your portable or MCOM Go kit. in one fell swoop with iPortable's ingenious Pro 2 equipment rack systems, available in 4 or 6 rack units. The systems combine a rugged travel and flight case with a DC power distribution point, speaker, rack shelving, plenty of room for your radios, power supply, and tuner. Front panel contains a volume control, coax plugs, fuse panel, cigarette lighter port, USB ports, power poles, and a headphone jack. Lightweight, but very robust, the Pro 2 equipment rack systems are compatible with most radio setups and make the perfect solution for any portable environment. And, of course, if you're tired of scrambling to find the precise cutting and stripping tools for your coax cables, then DX Engineering has solved that little issue for you with Coax Cables Prep Toolkit for crimp connectors. The kit contains everything that the well-prepared ham would need for professional quality cutting, stripping, and trimming of cable for crimp-style connector installation. The kit gives you 4 easy-to-use hinge-style coaxial cable strippers, grippers for both 8X and 213-sized cables, 10 replacement blades, side cutter, braid trimmers, channel lock cable cutters, and a custom carrying case to keep it all together. The strippers will prepare 400 Max, 8U, 213U, LMR 400, 8X, and LMR 240 size cables for installation of crimp style, PL259 N-type, and BNC connectors. So that simplifies your cable terminating considerably. From BHI, you get the ParaPro EQ20 series of powerful parametric EQ equalizers that will allow you to boost and cut specific frequencies so you can fine-tune your radio on the fly for better voice copy. That's what it's all about. You got to hear them. The new BHI ParaPro unit combines robust parametric EQ with 20-watt audio amp. Controls are intuitive, allowing you to easily and quickly adjust the ParaPro's frequency ranges and levels. They're Bluetooth capable. The options are, anyway, Bluetooth capable. For those with a built-in adjustable noise-canceling DSP unit, which will automatically filter out background noise and enhance receptions. They're great for any radio. Mobile radios for boosting the audio performance of older rigs with lower audio output. Whatever you have, it'll work with it. And DX Engineering, of course, you know this, ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern time are shipped the same day. I actually heard a story. A guy emailed me once. He said, you know what? I called DX Engineering and I ordered something. And actually, I called them back like 10 minutes later to amend the order, and they said, well, it's already on the truck. 10 minutes! It was already on the truck. Fastest shipping anywhere. Like I said, most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern time, they're shipped the same day. Proven products, expert advice, the best, most knowledgeable people in the business. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. A very important part of the Ham Nation team here. Well, Amanda is not with us tonight. She had some other things to do, so I'm sorry we don't have any chat room questions. But if you have any questions, be sure and email those directly to us. You can find our email addresses on qrz.com, or probably most of us have the at ARRL.net email address. Our call sign's at ARRL.net. So if you'd like to email us chat room questions directly, we'll do our best to answer those for you by return email and do whatever we can do to help you with that. So there you go. I've got a list of the after show nets tonight. The DMR net is on TAC 311. The D-Star net is on 14 Charlie. And the Echolink is on the Dewdrop In, which is node 355-800. For the HF nets, 20 meters is on 14268. And the 40 meter is on 7192. And, of course, we have an active hurricane absolutely raked Puerto Rico, and the hurricane net is active. So stay away from the traditional hurricane net frequencies of 14.325 and 7268. Stay away from those. Let them get in there and do what they can. So I think that's just about going to do it for us tonight. Thanks to our guests tonight, Bryant, KG5HVO, Chris, KD8YVJ, Austin, WA8CCS. Be sure to get on the air this Saturday and look for the WC8VOA, Voice of America, relay station special event celebrating their 75th anniversary of the Voice of America there in Ohio. And if you ever get the chance, go to that museum. It is absolutely amazing. That's where this shirt came from. I visited them during Dayton this year and just had the best time. So for those guys, and of course for George and Bob and Gordon, and Amanda, who is missing in action tonight, and of course Victor and everybody else who who works on Ham Nation. We want to thank you all for being here, and we'll see you all next week. So good night, everybody, and 7-3.